The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
I'm Martha Norwalk, and we'll welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the home page. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again. That will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And I just got one thing to say to start off with. Lonely. Lonely.
I'm here.
Thank goodness you're here. Yeah, back in the studio. I'm so glad to be back in the studio. And, of course, we missed Gary last week because we were live out at Jones & Company Pets in Marysville. But, you know, we had a store full of stuff and people and commotion everywhere. It's a little strange to be back in the studio. And I have to say, Scotty, Animal World's call screener, is not here today. So it's just me and Gary.
So you're saying there's not as much excitement going on right here as there was last week?
Well, not yet.
not yet. There will be later, though.
And put that together with if I turn around and look out the window.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, you were complaining this morning. It is like the Pacific. Well, we have no idea if downtown Seattle exists at the moment or really Mercer Island because we look out the window and it is nothing but cloudy, foggy, rainy. We can't see squat.
I'll just recommend if you don't have to go anywhere this morning, I just wouldn't.
Yeah, just stay home.
Yeah, this is a good stay-at-home morning.
Yeah, it sure is.
Maybe a little hot cocoa, maybe get a fire going.
Listening to Animal World.
Yes. Oh, that's a given. Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey. Stay right where you are. And I was telling Gary, I'm so glad when I got done with everything else I had to do yesterday. It was between 5:30 and 6 o'clock. And they said, you know, I've been hearing the neighbors cutting their grass all afternoon. I said, I better get out there and cut my grass because I think it's like going to rain for like a week or more and I may not have another chance. I am so glad I got out and did that. And even though it was kind of wet, and even though the driveway's kind of wet, I thought, oh, you know, it's not dark yet. I better blow off that driveway. I'm so glad I did because it's been practically raining ever since. And at least my grass is cut. My driveway's blown.
And hats off to you. That's impressive.
Yeah, well, I sort of impressed myself.
You went out there and did that, yeah.
Well, I figured once I got done mowing the lawn, I figured, well, you know, I got to walk all the way out to the mailbox anyway to get the mail.
You might as well cut.
I might as well blow the driveway on the way. Even though that, you know, means it takes like a half hour longer. But that's what I did, and it worked. So I'm pleased that I got all of that done.
And then May will be the next time you get a chance to do that.
Well, I don't know because, you know, I had cut it a week ago Thursday. And it had grown enough that, you know, it didn't look like it had been cut. So I'm trying to remember, and of course at my age, you know, CRS sets in frequently, but I'm pretty sure that I cut the grass last year up until November sometime.
Oh.
And of course this year I didn't get a break. Usually towards July into August, you know, I mean, we're well into summer and it dries out, and instead of having to cut the grass once a week, I could cut it every 2 weeks and then every 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so then you step up a little bit in the fall until you get that last cut in so it makes it through the winter. Well, this year, summer didn't happen till like the middle of August. So nothing ever slowed down. And I have cut the grass every 6 to 8 days throughout the whole
season. Wow, 6 to 8 days?
Well, it grows fast when it's raining. And, you know, warm and it's not freezing and it's raining. The grass grows fast, at least in my yard. So I've cut it every week for the whole season. A good thing I like cutting my grass.
Yeah, a good thing.
Well, and I have a new procedure now. Usually I just sing to myself in my head, you know, when I'm on my riding lawnmower and cruising around and doing that. Now I do my yogi chants.
Oh, nice.
So it's actually a spiritual experience.
You're turning it. Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go.
So I figure every time I cut the grass, I'm a better person when I get that. Closer to God, you know, it works. So anyway, yesterday was no exception. I chanted my way through. And you know what? It makes it easier, too. No little glitches and that kind of stuff. Huh? Things just work well. And so anyway, I'm glad that all of that happened. So now it's you and me, rainy day. Everybody can stay home and listen to Animal World. And we've got a great show planned. Well, we actually don't have it planned. I know it's good. Well, everything sort of that what bases we're going to cover. But like I said, Animal World's call screener, Scotty Robertson, is off. But it is the second Sunday of the month. Can't believe it's second Sunday of October already. Yeah. But in keeping with tradition, when we're on schedule, it means it's a Martha and Robin Sunday. So that means, and I believe that we already know that the ducks are lined up. So that means that gifted mystic, psychic, clairvoyant, Reiki master, Mount Shasta mystic, I think is the official title these days, from Mount Shasta, California, and co-host of Mystic Radio, Robin Alexis, is joining us. So let's see.
Hello.
Hey, there you are.
Hey, did you know when you smell grass that's just been cut, it improves your memory?
Ah. Well, so you'd think that CRS wouldn't set in with me so often anymore.
Well, that's what I was thinking when you mentioned that, Martha, yes.
But you know what? I'm thinking, you know, usually, you know, you're right. Now, that's usually when I cut my grass, it is very evident you smell the cut grass.
Mm.
And you usually smell the cut grass for like 24 hours afterwards. I'm realizing that yesterday, for the first time, I didn't smell the cut grass.
Oh, dear.
That must mean it's fall setting in, and because it was already kind of dewy and wet. I wonder if that had something to do with it. But I didn't smell a lot of cut grass, and I didn't smell cut grass when I came out this morning to leave.
Well,
so something's changing. The seasons are changing.
Mm.
So I guess that's the, you know, if I forget stuff today, not my fault. There was no smelling. There's no smell in the grass.
There it is.
Yeah. So thanks for the excuse. But, you know, and also keeping with tradition, whoever's not here, it's their fault. So if anything happens today, it's Scotty's fault.
All right.
Because he's not here. Gary's here. I'm here. Robin's here.
Scotty did it.
Yeah, Scotty did it. Can't be our fault. So, oh, my goodness, what a day. Well, let's see. Now, I do have an event happening today. We've got some follow-up and some news, and as Spirit would have it, there are some interesting things in the news, Robin, that we can kind of tune into and comment on. And if I recall, now CRS is setting in because I don't recall the specifics, but I do recall that there is a story that relates to your former hometown of Port Angeles.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. So something went on in Port Angeles this week that's in the news pile, and I'll remember when we get to it. So I figure that I'll tell you what's happening today. We'll do the follow-up, animals in the news. We'll tune into all of that. And then, let's see, at 10 o'clock, we will run the fall into winter tip because weather is changing, so I want to make sure you're taking care of your animal friends at this time of the year. And current events about 10:50, 10:55. Today, as usual, it seems to me, I think we spaced current events last week, Gary. We were having such a good time.
I don't
remote broadcast. So you guys just have to come to these remote broadcasts because we have so much fun. And we had listeners, they did the same thing when we were down at the Pet Expo at Puyallup, heard us talking on the air, got in their cars all the way from Issaquah. They drove up to Marysville, drove down to Pet Fest, so it was really good to see them. And lots of other listeners came out. It was really great. We had a fabulous time. So every year we do it, it's more fun. So mark your calendars, probably around the first weekend of October next year. We'll be doing it again. And gosh, and I think the Pet Expo is going to be in the fall. I think that's going to be in November next year. I think they moved it from the summer. But I don't know. We'll get there when we get closer. Huh. But anyway, it was a great time had by all. And like I said, it's kind of, every time it's been a week since we've been in the studio, it just feels different when we get back here.
I know. It's been a while.
It is kind of nice to have equipment you can count on. We did sort of have a couple little glitches where the wireless signal went down. But fortunately, you were on top of things and could handle that. And
I tried to be.
Yeah, yeah.
I do what I can.
Well, and we should remind everybody that we're on our farewell month of shows. Our farewell tour with Gary and my radio spouse here for the last 8 years.
Oh,
it's
Gary.
Actually been more than 8 years now.
A long time.
But Gary's going to take Sundays off so that he has at least a morning to stay home and play with his kids, which is... Well, you know, I'm so glad that you're going to get to do that because your kids are only kids once.
Yeah.
It doesn't last forever. I know that with my kids now. Of course, mine are in cat suits, so.
And this would have been a good morning to...
This would have been a good morning to stay home and in bed with the kids and have the kids pile in and all of that.
Right.
Well, it won't be long. However, what's nervous is that you can tell that we have not introduced anyone new. We're told that the station is hiring somebody new to take Gary's place and... You know, we've been doing this a long time together,
and
Gary has a system down, all this stuff, and as easy as we are, and it may not sound that we're real professional, because we just tell you what's going on and all of that, but we really do kind of know what we're doing, and it takes some practice and experience to understand, because it's a fairly complicated situation, and it's a three-hour show.
There's a lot going on, yeah.
A lot going on, and we have nobody new yet to be here and practice.
We have time. So,
well,
right.
Fortunately, yes. I think I'm gonna start squawking to Mr. and Mrs. KKNW as of like tomorrow and saying, "Hey, where's our new person? And how come they aren't here to practice and get used to all of this?" So we shall see.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we may see you again because your last day is going to be the last Sunday of this month.
Yes.
So you're going to be our Halloween scare. Boo! Bye.
Yeah.
That's kind of going to be it, isn't it? Phew. Out of here. And then I think it's the second Sunday in November is when I'm doing my Kriya yoga initiation. So for the first time ever in like 17 years, we're going to have a live animal world, but I won't be here.
Without you, yeah.
Yeah, Kim Miller, medium and animal intuitive, is going to host the show. And we really need someone running the show that kind of understands the program. So you've already checked your schedule and you don't have any sporting events.
Yeah,
so we hope that Mr. and Mrs. KKNW will agree to allow you to come back in for that Sunday if need be.
Yeah.
To run the show.
I think I'll be popping up from time to time. So.
Well, I hope so because you're volunteering to come in and help out when we need you.
Oh, yeah.
Provided you're not rich and famous and a famous, you know, famous sports broadcaster by then. Busy all the time.
No, I'd love to.
But we could find out, Robin.
Yes?
Tune in your psychic skills. Is Gary going to become a rich and famous right. sports broadcaster guy?
Oh,
will he be beyond us here?
You know, it's interesting, Gary. I actually do feel some success with you, not probably the degree that is, you know, in your heart that you would really like to do. But no, I definitely see you continuing to have momentum there.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
The
good
big
for mom. You.
But he can't get totally carried away here while he's got young kids because he has to be there for his family and his kids.
Yeah.
But he can be on the way.
Yeah, definitely.
So it sounds like that feels like all of that is shaken out for him.
Yeah.
All right, good. And, of course, it would be nicer to have some better local teams to commentating for.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a really good commentator when the team isn't doing well and you can still keep people listening.
That's true.
Oh, that's a very good attitude to have.
Yeah.
I'm so exciting that people will turn in tune in whether the team is crappy or not, huh?
Yeah, just so they can hear your voice. How's that, huh?
Yeah, speaking of that, sports teams, I understand that your beloved Cougars kind of like pooped out in the fourth quarter yesterday.
Yeah,
huh?
That was tough. I got to see the end of that. I was in...
I think you didn't want to see the end of that. No. Probably.
I was in McMinnville for most of yesterday doing a football
game. Isn't that Oregon?
Yeah.
That's getting down towards Robin territory because you're in Northern California. Mount Shasta's in Northern California, Robin?
Yes.
So where's McMinnville?
It's not too far south of Portland. So it's not
too far. So you weren't that close.
No.
Like half an hour away.
South.
I don't know what happened. I didn't hear about the Huskies. Did they play?
They didn't play.
They didn't play. They had the week off. Yeah. That must be why I didn't hear about them. Probably a good thing because at least, you know, their record is still the same.
They didn't lose, yeah.
They didn't lose. Okay, then. That's enough of that. All right. So we are going to, when we'll start Martha and Robin Sunday as we go through the news and so forth. And then once we exhaust this week's news, then we are going to update my boys are back story. You haven't heard about my boys, Gary. We've been talking about ping and pong and everything that's going on at my house. And boy, has there been a lot going on since the last show. Because what, it's been a month, Robin, since we did this. And
yeah,
I told the whole story. Wait till you guys hear. Wait till you guys hear. Yeah, just wait till you guys hear. You may turn us off for good. You may really think I'm you may really think I'm nuts. I think I'm nuts, so it's okay. I mean, I don't think so. I know so. But it's a good nuts. Anyway. All right. Do you want to know what's going on today? Although, since we've told you to stay home, maybe you want to... Maybe you want to get out for this. It's not up on current events because I just found it in the paper, like yesterday or something. But Oktoberfest Northwest is, I can't even pronounce it. Festali Biergarten Entertainment, German Cuisine, Kids Activity, and Root Beer Garden, 11 a.m., starting on Friday until 6 p.m. Sunday. So today's the last day, and it's at the Puyallup Fair and Event Center. You're probably thinking, what on earth is she mentioning this for? Well, because the height of the entertainment at this event today is the wiener dog races. And so it starts at 11 a.m. today. It goes to 6 p.m., and the wiener dog races are at noon today, and that's at the Puyallup Fair and Event Center. You all know where that is. And let's see, it's only $5 to get in on Sunday. Ages 12 and younger are free all weekend. And if you want to check it out on the internet, the website is www.ok, and that's oktoberfestnw.com. oktoberfestnw.com. Wiener races today at noon at the Puyallup Fairgrounds. So, just in case you want to go get wet, you could do that. Otherwise, stay right where you are and listen to us, because we are so fascinating. Are we not? Okay, so we should check in. It's rainy and yucky up here, Robin. I'm sure you heard us say. What's going on down at Mount Shasta?
It is absolutely glorious. The sun is shining through the leaves and limbs in the tree and casting shadows on the lawn that's strewn with leaves that have fallen from the tree. It's very beautiful. And it was really beautiful yesterday, too. We got to go hiking over at McLeod Falls, and it was just such a beautiful fall day. So sorry, guys.
Well, that's nice. It's lovely down there. And one of the reasons we're not totally planned and prepared for today is because, and I should tell you, since Scotty isn't here, Gary will answer the phone. And since the phone's ringing, I'm going to tell Gary it's ringing. He's going to run in the other room, so keep letting it ring because Gary's headed to the phone. And so if you call in today, first of all, we have to notice that the phone is ringing. And number two, Gary has to either run in the other room to answer it. And if he's able to do that, then you'll have his voice answering the phone. If he's not, he'll just put the call on hold here in the studio until he can get in the other room to speak with you. So you'll know your call's been picked up if you hear the radio show playing in your ear. And then just hold on until Carrie can come and speak with you. So anyway, I was going to say, Robin, the reason that we normally, you and I, would chat a bit before the show, and we didn't have a chance to do that because you've had company from up here. I guess some of your Soul Spa members have been down visiting you this weekend. Is that true?
Yes, and it has been just a delightful experience. Yeah, it's incredible. These Soul Spa members have been with us since the beginning, which I believe is a couple of years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And people really love Mount Shasta, so now they're coming down here to visit the mountain and all that it offers and visit us too. And it's just incredible. We went to the crystal room yesterday. We had a crystal sound bowl healing from a man named Scott that was just incredible.
Mm.
And, it's been wonderful.
Well, and it's nice that the weather is so lovely.
Yes.
Down there. And at any rate, for anybody of you that don't know, Robin, of course, is the co-host of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis, which airs here on KKNW live on Wednesdays from noon to 1 o'clock. And Oh, I'm just reading what Gary's typing up here because he just took a phone call. And, of course, someone is calling in with a behavior question about a dog. And I got to tell you, Deborah, we're not taking those kind of phone calls today. But if you do have a behavior training or healing question about your animal friends, you can always call me off the air at Martha's Canine Feline and All Creature Counseling. And I do always a free, no obligation telephone evaluation. So, you know, I can solve your problem for free in a few minutes on the phone. If not, I'll tell you how I work and what we'll do about it. And I either work over the phone or in your home with you and your animal friends. And you can reach me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. And apparently she's got a call about or a question about her dog chasing a squirrel. So If you want to hang on for a while, Deborah, you never know. We might decide that we'd like to talk about dogs chasing squirrels. We run out of other things to do. But the intention here is to get through news, animals in the news, tune into those kind of things, and then we'll update my boys are back story and tell you all the doo-doo-doo-doo stuff that's been happening in the last month. And then we will go into other animal situations around the country, around the world, if we are so inclined. And if we are not so inclined, then we may open up the phone lines at that point and take your calls. And we'll just let you know as it's happening. So stay with us, because things could change at any moment. So at any rate, I was saying, Robin is co-host of Mystic Radio right here on KKNW. That's Wednesdays at noon, and then it repeats Thursday evening still.
Or no, they switched it out to Sunday afternoons.
Oh, Sunday afternoons it repeats. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you take live phone calls and read for people and do energy work and that sort of thing on your show. But you also have a great website, which is www.robinalexis.com. And the Soul Spa we referred to is a private membership on your website. So, folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, you can go to Robin's website, robinalexis.com, and you can find out about the Soul Spa.
Yeah, the two women who came to visit, they met through the Soul Spa and have become very good friends. And then they decided to come down here together and experience all the beauty of the mountain. But the metaphysical experiences here are off the chart. Last night during dinner, all of a sudden we started getting information that we were meant to go into a meditation together. And so we did this group meditation. It was very powerful. And then I don't know how they slept, but I slept like a baby last night and was looking forward to your show, Martha, and here we are.
Great. Yeah, as I was doing show prep at the time you posted about that special meditation, so I didn't hear about it until long after the fact, so I wasn't able to participate.
Well, you can send your higher self. And
yeah, I have to say that, as usual on Saturday night, I didn't sleep as much as I would like to.
Yeah, I'll bet.
But that's, because I always do the show on Sunday, and I, sort of excited. My energy's up, and so I just kind of drift for a little while on Saturday night. Let's see. Where are we at? Okay, how about in the animals in the news? We'll start with that. We'll just get the yucky stuff out of the way to start with. And unfortunately, I don't think, there is some yucky stuff, but this is kind of attitude sorts of things. This is Lake Sammamish. I didn't know that this had been applied for, but just so you know, federal wildlife officials have concluded that the kokanee salmon in Washington State's Lake Sammamish do not warrant federal protection. So maybe you can tune into this, Robin, while I read the rest of this, and you can let us know if you feel like this is a correct, an appropriate decision. It says U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service officials said Monday that they remain concerned about Lake Sammamish kokanee, but their review indicates the fish shouldn't be listed under the Federal Endangered Species Act. Kokanee are landlocked version of ocean-going sockeye salmon. So, if they're concerned about them, I'm not sure why they wouldn't list them, but do you get any sense of that, Robin?
I feel that it's political.
Okay.
You know, when I'm looking at it, it's they can't justify that because of what's going on in the world right now. And my feeling is I'm just feeling my own body start to send energy to the salmon.
Yeah, and by political, you probably mean with, you know, the state of what's going on and the, I would say, a small percentage of the population not wanting to spend money.
Right.
And heaven forbid we protect animals and the environment.
Yeah,
but that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on that.
Right. It's like, you know, what are our priorities to nurture and take care of? And I guess it's kind of like, I remember when my kids were growing up, my son had a little bit more talent than my daughter, but not a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But because he had just that little bit extra issue, he got all kinds of support and attention and guidance. And because my daughter just barely fell under the same guideline, she got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was way more difficult for her than it was for my son because of kind of an arbitrary code that you measure things by. And I find that in this situation, too.
Well, and here's another one that's similar, and this is out of Ellensburg. Two groups have filed a petition with the Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife to delist gray wolves in the eastern third of the state. Now, you could probably guess the organizations that are doing this. The Washington Cattlemen's Association and the Hunter Heritage Council say gray wolves should be classified as a big game species, allowing them to be hunted. Federal endangered species protections for wolves were removed in the eastern one-third of Washington earlier this year, but wolves are still listed under the state's endangered species law. And Gary, have we not been reporting for a long time now that our state's population of gray wolves is just barely getting started again, and a lot of it was wiped out by poachers? So, yeah, Gary's acknowledging that. So this, man, you getting any read on this one, Robin?
Well, it's the same thing that we're finding everywhere. It's more of the same. What people who have the organized control are getting things to go in the direction that they want for their reasons, and it just seems very self-absorbed.
Yeah, and it's a shame that these organizations are not willing at this point to change their attitude and behaviors to be more accommodating of wildlife and the environment. And I guess that's all I'll say about that. Okay, Robin, here's Port Angeles.
Ooh.
Livestock killed, cougar fatally shot.
Oh, no, not again.
A wildlife agent shot and killed a cougar believed to have killed three sheep and three llamas on the North Olympic Peninsula. The cougar was seen in an open field in broad daylight, feeding on a 180-pound ram it had killed Monday, about 5 miles west of Port Angeles. It ignored the sheep's owner as she drove up in a car. The Peninsula Daily News reports the cougar was treed by dogs and shot by a wildlife officer. He says it was a healthy 150-pound adult male. Now, I guess before we do any reading here, you know, I think it's only fair to say that sometimes, you know, culling can be reasonable and something that has to be done when human and wildlife are living together. Certainly sounds like this cougar was making livestock its main source of food, and was getting fairly human acclimated in that it was not disturbed apparently by the humans and the cars, you know, approaching it and so forth. But I don't know. Do you get a read on this? Was this a reasonable thing or not? And do we have a feed from the cougar as to how the cougar feels about it?
Yeah, I can see the spirit of the cougar.
Yeah, I can see it now too.
Yeah, it looks quite brilliant actually.
Yeah.
It's
a big male.
It's got like a diamond based energy pattern with it. I'm feeling like it's actually the cougar itself is okay and you know, it feels very centered even in its kind of out of body experience. And you know, I have to wonder though, even though the cougar seems okay, and obviously the cougar was too bold, getting right. closer and closer to town, why can't they, you know, what do you call it?
Capture
put them out.
And
yeah,
and
why
relocate.
Can't they? Yeah, why couldn't they do that or something else? You know.
Well, I think a lot of the problem is that there are so many of them around, and they are very territorial. And with an adult male like that, if you were to capture him and take him elsewhere, you'd plunk him in the middle of somebody else's territory.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I'm not so sure that that wouldn't cause more problems.
Yeah.
Then, so, like I said, you know, sometimes these things have to happen.
Right. But, and the cougar looks really great, actually. And I'm so excited that it's coming in with such clarity that both you and I can experience it clairvoyantly.
Yeah, I can see him clearly. But and of course, it's important to say, you know, when we're talking about spiritual things, and it is only the physical body that dies. The soul is eternal. And pretty much once you're out of the body, especially with our animal friends, because they are more in tune with spirit than we humans are, I mean, pretty much once they're out, they're okay. You know,
And that's what
you know, Kim Miller, you know, medium and animal intuitive, who, by the way, will be here in a couple of weeks. You know, she's always telling, you know, our listeners when she's reading for people, you know, the animal's okay, you know, or your relatives are okay. Everybody's okay on the other side. That's assuming that they make it out of their body and through to the other side. Some do get stuck in the astral plane and then they can need some help. But sounds like this cougar is good.
Yeah, now it's starting to show me other cougars as well. And at first I thought it was asking for assistance to, you know, go through a portal and to get to the other side. But as I'm watching it and there's other cougars gathering here, they seem to be very content in whatever this energy pattern is that they're holding. And
okay, well, that's good. So the cougars are good.
Yeah, yeah. I think this one was... It feels good. It certainly feels like it was justified, and the cougar's doing great, so I guess we can't ask for more than that.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. All right, now, if you have been paying attention to the news, you're probably aware of this local story. Speaking of somebody needing help, we have another animal hoarding story shaken out around here. And I've got the story from the Northwest Saturday section of the Seattle Times that made the cover of that section. Animal hoarding operation rescues 100 dogs from two sites. And this was in King County. Deputies Thursday removed 100 dogs from the home of a Burien man and from a second property near Issaquah. That's interesting that there were two properties involved here. 38 dogs were removed from the Burien home. They were mostly Chihuahuas, Pomeranians, and Chins, and they were in extremely dirty crates and in poor health. 14 of the dogs were taken to a veterinarian. 9 had to be euthanized because they were in such bad shape. The 62 dogs removed from the Issaquah property were mainly Chihuahuas, and they were apparently in better condition. The investigation into the house in Burien began after the sheriff's office was contacted by Posados Safe Haven, so good for Posados, they're out there. They had received a tip about the animals and apparently were checking it out, and then they called in the sheriff. Sounds like it was a good thing that they did. And they said a man in the Burien home told authorities most of the dogs were his and that some were, quote, show dogs. He also said he kept additional dogs at the house near Issaquah. And let's see. The Issaquah dogs were in relatively good health and clean crates. But can you imagine 100 dogs in crates? This is... Now, apparently, some of these dogs will be available for adoption fairly soon. Let's see. Our first concern is the health and well-being of the dogs, so all of them are being checked out and treated at local veterinary hospitals. The dogs from the Issaquah area home may eventually be available for adoption as well. It's some of the Burien dogs that will be up for adoption the soonest. And it says to adopt... Some of the Burien dogs may be available next week. And for more information about adopting dogs, go you can also donate to help care for these dogs at buriencares.com. For updates for when the dogs may become available for adoption, go to www.kingcounty.gov/safety/regionalanimalservices. And or you can pull up the article on the Seattle Times. All right, so they didn't give the guy's name or what's going on, but they allude that this guy did some dog showing. Are you getting any hits on this situation, Robin?
Well, the only thing I'm experiencing are the dogs that transitioned, and they're just showing me almost like a soul collective, like I experienced after 9/11. They're coming through and saying, you know, attention to this type of matter really matters to them. It gives purpose to what they went through. And they're showing me how relieved the other animals are that they were found out and that they are going to go into situations where they'll be cared for really well. And it feels like the person who calls himself the owner was delusional.
Well, most of these people in animal hoarding situations do are not seeing clearly, and in their hearts they're thinking they're doing a good thing, although I think I remember hearing something, although it isn't in this article, that I saw on the news, that this guy, you know, was showing dogs and was breeding to begin with, but, you know, had gotten older and things had just gotten out of hand.
Yeah, it definitely feels like there's an issue. And the other thing that the soul collective of dogs from the other side are saying is, why did it take so long? You know, there were people who were aware of this way longer prior to actually taking some sort of action. And, you know, I think that's important. It's the same way that, like, when you go to the airport and they say, you know, if you see something suspicious, you need to report it, call 911. It's like, if we see things that are suspicious with how people are caring for their animals, you know, maybe we shouldn't just walk away.
Yeah, say something. And is it fair to say that, I mean, these dogs came in and their sole purpose was to shine light on these type of situations and that we need to be paying better attention?
I absolutely sense that from the dogs that have transitioned, is that they do move as a group of souls who come in for that purpose.
The other thing that's kind of coming up for me is realizing that how we handle some of these situations, because this doesn't sound like a puppy mill situation where this person was blatantly doing this just to make money. Sounds like, you know, may have started out as a legitimate person showing and breeding and so forth, but it got out of hand and all of that, and became more, they're calling it a hoarding situation, but it kind of doesn't feel like either a puppy mill situation or a hoarding situation, as to maybe just a human that needed help and there really wasn't anywhere to go. And we think so poorly of people in these situations, and our tendency is to jump on them and punish them, is that maybe we have to open our hearts somewhat so that when people do get in trouble with too many animals, they aren't afraid to ask for help. Is there something going on there that I'm picking up on, Robin?
Well, I think that's legitimate, but I'm also feeling, actually just went right out of my head. Well, that was weird. I think that CRS stuff just hit me. That was really strange. It had to do with what the animals were saying on the other side. And they're saying it's a mixture of both, that if the people don't even realize that what they're doing is off base,
right,
then they're not going to ask for help.
Exactly.
And at that point, you know, there's probably a lot of people who leave that person in their observation of that situation, and then they'll go and talk amongst themselves or their other people and say, you know, so-and-so is off base and this doesn't feel right, but they don't actually do anything. you know, nobody actually sits with this person and gently confronts them and says, hey, you know, this isn't quite cool.
Yeah, because you got to wonder, there may have been neighbors that were aware of things going on, but also
yeah.
if this person was involved in dog showing with these breeds, certainly there must have been people that were kind of catching wind of this in
exactly.
the dog show situations, and that maybe this person was kind of losing it, and shouldn't we check on what was going on with the animals? And you're right, so many people just tend to not want to get involved.
Right. And the dogs are saying, you know, concern for your brethren. You know, if someone is off balance, it's not only the animals, it's this person too who needs help, but they can't even see that they need it.
Yep. All right. Let's since we are kind of behind schedule here, let's take a little time here to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. That is the most important part of the show. Without them, there is no us. So we'll table the news for just a moment. We'll take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Then we'll be back with our Martha and Robin Sunday. We'll continue with the news. We've got a few more news items, and then we'll get to the best news about animals. And then we'll get to My Boys Are Back, a Ping and Pong update. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Call into Mystic Radio with Rob and Alexis Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for your free on-air readings. Robin uses her ability as a karma specialist, medical intuitive, and metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She's a medium who can talk to your spirit guides and angels. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Pam and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
This life, you're becoming my mother.
I know I am. I think I am your mother.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
So you're saying that he's been married twice before this woman?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
I see you getting married in 3 years.
Oh, my God.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KTNW.
Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Visit Jones & Company Pets. They're on State Avenue in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Urine contamination is a common and stubborn problem. Conventional cleaning methods are not the answer. Anti-Icky Poo works quickly and naturally, and it's my all-time absolute favorite odor neutralizer. This unique bacteria enzyme solution oxygen converts the waste directly into carbon dioxide, a safe and odorless gas found in everyday clean air. Ask your vet for anti-icky poo or call 1-800-745-1671. Anti-icky poo, it's a serious product with a funny name that really works, especially on cat urine. 1-800-745-1671.
Radio for your body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. Hope you do it every Sunday morning. We're here 9 a.m. to noon on Alternative Talk, a.m. 1150. It's the second Sunday of the month, and it's a Martha and Robin Sunday. That means Mount Shasta Mystic Robin Alexis is here with me, and we are still doing animals in the news. Robin, are you still there? I can hear you breathing. while you're breathing, will you blow some of that sunshine and nice weather up our direction?
Here it comes. How'd that lift your spirits?
Well, that was a little chilly. It kind of blew me up towards Anchorage, which is where the next story is coming from. So it is time for killer whales in the news. Gosh, this is kind of fascinating. There are killer whales that have been found 30 miles up an Alaska river, which is freshwater, and you know, killer whales, orcas, are saltwater mammals, and this is really rare. Now, there's also a photograph of them that was taken Tuesday. And what you can see is the top of the whales and then their dorsal fins. And it's like they're covered with a film and barnacles. And they're swimming in Nushkagak River, south of Ekwok, Alaska, which is about 285 miles southwest of Anchorage. Now, here's the story, and Robin, I'm sure you'll be getting information as I'm reading this. Three killer whales have made an unprecedented trek into a freshwater river in southwest Alaska, a rare move for the saltwater mammals. A biologist with the National Marine Fisheries Service in Anchorage said it was the first time that NOAA has received a report of killer whales being in freshwater in the state. The whales swam 30 miles up this river to a spot near this village. They appear to have been in the area for about 3 weeks. And let's see. There have been reports of killer whales at the mouth of this river during fall, but this is different. This is the first time they have been up this far in the river and the longest they have stayed. They're covered with a membrane that has been seen on marine mammals that remain in fresh water, and they appear to be stressed from being in the fresh water. It's not known why they went so far up the river. Quote, the only thing that I can assume is that they might be following the food. That's what it feels like to me, but I'm thinking there may be a bigger message here as well. It says there might be some rich masses of silver salmon up that way. Now, let's see. This woman is saying that as a girl growing up near another river in the region, they'd see a beluga whale and harbor seals occasionally would swim up a river. And but this is very unusual circumstances. NOAA is taking a wait-and-see approach in hopes that the whales will leave the river on their own. So are you getting anything from these whales, Robin?
Well, I am getting an image of a whale, and he looks very, very stressed, extremely stressed, very sad, and not confused. So I feel like this was deliberate, but my feeling that I'm receiving in communication here is that it was the best decision kind of for what they had to work with. And I'm feeling like the water was caustic, the environment has shifted in the ocean, so the way they went about communicating and experiencing their wellness there shifted, and now they're trying this. But it doesn't bode well. It doesn't, I mean, when
no,
I look at this
whale. No, it doesn't feel
whale,
good to me at all.
No.
Are you getting a confirmation? Were they following food, salmon up the river?
Well, yes, they were, but...
You said something about the waters being toxic and crummy, so they were just trying to get away from crappy water, ocean water, or what?
Well, that is the bigger picture, is that, you know, why is the food source not where it usually is? Mm. It's because things are shifting.
Yeah.
And it just, this whale that's looking at me is like, oh, boy, this isn't good. And I don't get the sense that it, like, wants to ascend and go to the new earth or anything, mm-hmm. you know, highfalutin. It kind of just wants to be in the world that it was comfortable in before, and it doesn't exist anymore, and it doesn't feel like it's coming back. So it almost feels like a fish out of water, in a sense, because its usual environment isn't there. And I'm actually feeling in my heart a really good way of relating to this is that, you know, we've been talking about how our home in Port Angeles, Washington, which is on a bluff on the Strait of Juan de Fuca, I just love that home up there.
Mm-hmm.
But like the whale, in a sense, we were called to Mount Shasta, and here we are, but I long for my home in Port Angeles.
Yeah, you really miss that. Yeah.
I really, really do. And yet, I don't feel like there's, you know, there's no reverse here. It's like mm-hmm. things are changing for the whale, for me, for everybody. And I think a lot of us might have that nostalgia for what has been. And we appreciated it when we had it, but it's like, wow, you didn't really realize it was going to go away permanently. And that's what this whale, it seems like it's realizing that nothing's ever going to be the same again.
Now, I'm wondering if the whales are going to come back down the river to the ocean themselves, or whether, like you said, I mean, everything's changed. There's nothing, they feel what they're used to, there's nothing to go back to. Are authorities going to intervene, and will they be successful, or is this a case of it's just best to not mess with Mother Nature and let this run its course and learn what we can learn?
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling is, you know, just observe, because I feel like if they did intervene, it won't be successful anyway.
Yeah.
And it's just, if we want to talk about a message, you know, the whales are definitely encouraging us to be so grateful for whatever we have and realize that even though we may think in the day that we're having it, it could be better, you may get to a future point in time where you look back to the day that you're in and go, wow, that actually was good and I didn't know it.
Yeah, so be grateful for what you have.
Yeah, definitely.
What we have. And also, if we want whales to be a part of our lives, of our children's lives, of future on this planet, we need to change our attitudes, and we need to start taking better care of Mother Earth and the oceans.
Yeah, I wonder how long it would take to get the oceans back.
That's what I'm wondering.
As you were speaking that, it's like, you know, maybe it's not ever going to be the same again, certainly not in our lifetimes. I mean, what kind of... Actually, I'm seeing some energy coming in between, like, October 11th and October 30th. There's another wave of kind of high-frequency energies, and off from that will be new thoughts, ideas, and creative streaks where maybe we will make more shifts to kind of the positive, if you will, than the negative. So based on what you look at through the whale's eyes, he's very despondent and kind of pessimistic about the future. But then when I looked at it energetically, not through the whale, but through, you know, the other lens that I look through, I see that there is a potential for change and growth and healing. But that may not be enough to save the whales and other species who will lose their lives while we all wake up.
Yeah. Well, okay, new subject. And how psychic are you, Robin? You starting to itch yet? I am.
But I was itching really bad on Saturday. I'm like, what the heck is going on? So maybe I picked up on it then.
Oh, when did the whale, this, oh gosh. This is just kind of hairy, crazy ants invade southeast. Flea-sized insects cause big trouble, can disable huge industrial plants. I mean, I have never heard of hairy, crazy ants. And just get this. This is a story out of New Orleans. It sounds like a horror movie. Biting ants invade by the millions. A camper's metal walls bulge from the pressure of ants nesting behind them. A circle of poison stops them for only a day, and then a fresh horde shows up, bringing babies. Stand in the yard, and in seconds, ants cover your shoes. It's an extreme example of what can happen when the ants, which also can disable huge industrial plants, go unchecked. Controlling them can cost thousands of dollars. But the story is real, told by someone who's been studying ants for a decade. Quote, months later, I could close my eyes and see them moving. This is according to this ant expert. He curates the ant, mosquito, and scarab collections at the Mississippi State Entomology Museum and Mississippi State University. He's been back to check on the hairy, crazy ants. They're still around, but the occupant of that mobile home isn't. Geez, the flea-sized citizens are called crazy ants because each forage scrambles randomly, or each forager scrambles randomly at a speed that your average picnic ant marching one by one reaches only in video fast forward. They're called hairy because of fuzz that, to the naked eye, makes their abdomen look less glossy than their slower, bigger cousins. And they're on the move into Florida, Texas, Mississippi, and Louisiana. In Texas, they've invaded homes and industrial complexes, urban areas, and rural areas. They travel in cargo containers, hay bales, potted plants, motorcycles, and moving vans. They overwhelm beehives. One Texas beekeeper was losing 100 hives a year in 2009. They short out industrial equipment. Now get this. If one gets electrocuted, its death releases a chemical cue to attack a threat to the colony. The other ants rush in. Before long, they have a ball of ants. A computer system controlling pipeline valves shorted out twice in 35 days. And they're having to treat once a month to keep them at bay in that particular business. And they're going for overkill because it's such a horrendous thing. And, there's the part of this story that'll just creep you out. Let's see. I did a test site with a product early on and applied the product to a half acre. In 30 days, I had 2 inches of dead ants covering the entire half acre. It looked like the top of the dead ants was just total movement from all the live ants on top of the dead ants. Fortunately, that is because apparently when they die, then it calls in a whole bunch more of them and they bring babies. Can you imagine a half an acre of land, Gary, covered with, these are flea size ants, and it's a half an acre and it's 2 inches deep in ant carcasses.
You.
Yeah. Now they say that the only bonus to these crazy hairy ants is that they can wipe out fire ants. Okay, but the conclusion at the end of this article is that we'd rather have the fire ants. So, holy moly, they think they came from South America. But my goodness. So I'm wondering, you know, on a higher level, Robin, what is going on? I mean, is this, you know, I often say that the wild, other than domestic animals and insects, tend to reflect a mass consciousness energy. I mean, what is the message? What are we doing to create this kind of stuff?
Well, what came to mind for me was, even though, you know, they're very small as an individual, when they're as a collective, they're quite mighty.
Ooh, the power of numbers.
Yes, and I think that is the message that we're receiving. And, you know, whether we agree with Occupy Wall Street or some, you know, other form of protesting, to me, this is that type of energy where people have been, or ant medicine is all about patience, where you hold a vision for a really long time and then you band together and you make it happen. And to me, it's very appropriate that they're coming up and doing these different things, these ants and the people. It's like, it's kind of like an uprising. It's like, you didn't think we mattered? Well, watch this.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, so maybe on a higher level, this is a positive support message to the power of numbers. And
yes.